I'm excited about the word this morning, and I believe the Lord's going to just speak to us about His faithfulness in our life. And it's never a message I get tired of preaching. I preach a lot along these lines, but it's simply because it's just meant so much to my life. Just how through all my weaknesses and faults and flaws, the Lord can still work a deep work and a powerful work, and you just change from glory to glory, and it does go all back to the Lord's faithfulness. Amen. So this morning, I just want to simply entitle this message, Maturity. Maturity. And I want to go to two passages of Scripture. I want to go to Luke chapter 5 and John chapter 21. Luke chapter 5 and John chapter 21. We're going to begin at Luke chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 4. Verse 4 begins, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon," who we all know is Peter, he says, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the catch of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now go with me to John chapter 21. We're going to begin at verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat about him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coal there, and fish laid thereon in bread. And Jesus said unto them, Bring up the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and for all that there were so many fishes was not yet the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples does ask him, Who art thou, Lord, knowing that it was the Lord? And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you would just take the words that are in my heart, God, and Lord, that you would just begin to speak into the deep places of our life. God, these are a simple message with some very simple truths, but Lord, the truths are truly profound. They truly possess a heavenly weight. And Lord, would you just go into our hearts and encourage today, Lord, and do something deep by your word today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we just saw in the reading of our text, the first miracle that Jesus performed with his disciples, and the last miracle Jesus performed with his disciples while his feet were planted in the earth, they are almost identical. When you really look at his very first miracle and his very last miracle that he performed, in this earth with the disciples, they really look identical. In both instances, the disciples had toiled all night to catch fish. Fishing all night, they caught nothing. Jesus instructs them to cast their nets into the water. They obeyed and caught so much fish, the boat was about to sink. You know, again, these miracles are almost identical. But beloved, when we look a little closer at these miracles, there are some differences that we see. There are some distinctions that we see. And here's what I really want us to take note of. I believe these differences reveal a work that Christ has faithfully performed in the lives of the disciples. I believe that these differences reveal a deeper maturity in the lives of these disciples. You see, the second time Jesus performed these miracles, they are not the same men they were 3.5 years ago the first time he performed this miracle. That in that 3.5 year span between these miracles, Jesus did a deep work within their lives. And when you look at the differences between these miracles, you can really begin to see what Jesus did in their lives. So what I want to do this morning is I just want to look at how these miracles, even though they look identical, I want to look at the differences that you find in them. And I really want to bring out a work that God was faithful to do in their lives. And in a moment, you're going to understand what I'm talking about. You're going to understand what I mean. But let me just begin by saying that the disciples are in a place of waiting. Yes, they are fishing, but in reality, they're in a place of waiting. See, remember, before this event happened, in John 21, the disciples had already seen the resurrected Lord twice in a phenomenal way. They had received from his breath the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had already recommissioned them with these words, "As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." They had all gone from Jerusalem to Galilee in obedience to his command. And now at this time, they are in Galilee waiting on a further instruction from the Lord. So, yes, they are in boats fishing, but in reality, they are in a waiting place. They're waiting for Jesus to come. They're waiting for an instruction from the Lord. And whether, because I've heard it preached both ways, and I believe both ways it does apply, but whether they're fishing because they've gotten discouraged, discouragement's come into their heart and they've went back to fishing, or whether they're fishing because they just don't want to be idly waiting upon the Lord. They don't want to be in a place of idleness. They want to keep their hands busy. Whichever one it is, it doesn't really matter, because ultimately they are in a place of waiting upon the Lord. And I just want to begin by saying that nothing reveals Christ-like maturity than being in waiting times with God. There's just something about being in a waiting time with God that causes the strength of God and causes the meekness of Christ to exhibit itself in your life. Nothing reveals Christ-like maturity in your life than when you are in those waiting places with God. You know, as I was thinking about that, the scripture that came to my mind was Hebrews 6:12. Where the scriptures say, "Be followers of them that receive the promises through faith and patience." And I really like that. It says, "Be not slothful, but be followers of those who receive the promises of God through faith and patience." And I really believe that patience is the measuring line of a person's faith. I believe that with all my heart. You see, how does God know I have great faith? Because I'm able to exercise great patience and waiting upon the promises of the Lord. So again, what I'm simply saying is, nothing reveals Christian maturity and strength more than the times of patiently waiting. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, let's begin to look at the differences between these two miracles that seem to be identical. And let's begin to see the faithful working of Christ in the disciples' lives. The first one I want us to take note of is this. The first time Jesus performed this miracle in Luke 5, he is in the boat with the disciples. But 3.5 years later, the same miracle, Jesus is not in the boat, but he's standing on the seashore calling out to them. In other words, they're seeing him from a distance. In other words, they're hearing his voice to their hearts from a distance. Listen, he's not in the boat with me like the first time. When I felt so disheartened, when I felt so discouraged, when I felt so disappointed. The first time in my weariness and disappointment and discouragement, his presence was in the boat with me. I could sense his nearness. In the boat, when he spoke to me to let down my net, I could see the strength in his countenance. I could see the sureness in his eyes. I could hear the calm assurance in his voice. I could feel the comfort of his presence. But now this time, he is distant. This time, he seems to be at a distance calling out to me. And beloved, as we mature in Christ, there's just going to be those trials where Christ just seems to be distant. In this trial that I am, in this time of waiting that I am in, I just don't sense the nearness of his presence as times and trials before. I just don't sense his presence really with me in this trial. I just don't really sense his presence with me in this time of discouragement. I just don't really sense his presence with me waiting upon him in this trial. Christ just feels a little distant from me. And you know, so often when we're in the trial of our life and we don't seem to feel the nearness of his presence, we just don't seem to feel that nearness that he has with his people. Sometimes what can happen is we can begin to believe that maybe the Lord is just a little indifferent to what I'm going through. Maybe we can even begin to feel a little abandoned by the Lord. Maybe we can begin to doubt that he really cares for me. Remember the storm, the disciples cried out, "Carest thou not that we perish?" You know, when Christ's presence doesn't really seem near to your heart, you know, these things can come in and begin to try to find a place in the heart. But here's what we have to see. Though Jesus wasn't in the boat, his word still had the same power. Though he seemed to be appearing to them from a distance and calling out to them from a distance, his word still produced the same effect. In other words, whether in the boat or calling out from a distance, his word still put fish in the net. Amen. Now, here's my point. When in those trials, when in those waiting times, when we don't always sense his presence, when we don't always sense his nearness, when we don't always feel that deep sense of comfort his presence brings, but yet we choose to continue to look to his word and trust in his word and obey his word, it so reveals Christ's faithfulness to work in our lives a deeper faith and trust in his word. It really is a reflection of Christ's faithfulness in our lives to deepen our faith and trust and hope in his word. Even though in this trial of my life, I don't sense the nearness of his presence. I come to church and I don't sense the nearness of his presence. In my devotional time, I don't sense the nearness. He seems distant to me. But yet when there's still something in your heart that's anchored in his word and hopes in his word and trusts in his word, that is the revelation. God has worked something deep in my life. Beloved, listen, the word of God is everything to a believer. And faith in his word is everything to a believer. And that is the one thing the Lord really wants to get anchored in the heart of his people. You know, I heard a pastor say one time, he said, "I would rather be in his word than in heaven." I would rather be in the word than in heaven. And I thought, you know, that is a strange thing to say. But then he explained what he meant. He said, the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will abide forever. He said, rest assured, if anything's going to stand faithful throughout eternity, it will be the word of God. Amen. And I'm telling you, when you're just in those trials, and he seems distant, and his presence seems distant, and his touch upon your heart seems distant, but yet there is an anchor in your heart, in his word, that is a revelation. God has cultivated something deep in my life. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now let's look at the second difference. I want you to go with me to, again, to Luke chapter 5, but hold your place in John chapter 21. Luke chapter 5. And hold your place in John 21. Look with me at Luke chapter 5, verse 6. This is the first time Jesus performed a miracle. It says, "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets broke." Now go with me to John chapter 21. Verse 11 says, "Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153 to be exact. And for all there were so many, yet was the net not broken." So we see the differences. The first time they caught all these fish, great multitude of fish, the Bible says that the net broke. But 3.5 years later, same miracle, same thing, dragging into the fish, but this time the Bible says that the net stayed strong. And listen, in this unbroken net, the second time, Jesus is telling his disciples something. He's telling them this. Like this unbroken net, you have a strength in God you didn't have 3 years ago, the first time I performed this miracle. This unbroken net is a physical picture of a spiritual work that has been taking place in your life these 3 years that you have walked with me. That there is a strength in God ever increasing in your life. Beloved, that's the testimony of this unbroken net. God is saying to these disciples, this unbroken net is a reflection of your life. I have cultivated a strength in you, in God, that is strong. Now, going back to the first time Jesus performed this miracle, the net broke. And Jesus was speaking something by this broken net. The Lord was saying, "I am calling you to be fishers of men, but yet before you are truly ready for the fullness of what that requires, there's a work that needs to be done in your life. There is a strength that needs to be cultivated in you." That's what they didn't realize it at the time, but that's what the broken net was saying to the disciples in Luke chapter 5. And it reminds me of something that I heard Pastor Teresa say some time ago. In essence, she said, people united together in ministry are like a fishing net, and the fish are fighting and pulling to break out of the net, and each one needs to be able to maintain their part of the net. And one of the things she was simply meaning is this, that there has to be a strength found in each person's life to hold fast whatever our part in the ministry is. We have to be able to maintain our part and our position if the ministry is going to be as impactive and as fruitful as it should be. Everyone's part of the net is going to get yanked and hammered and pulled on, and holding our part of the net together will require a great strength in the Lord. Amen. So going back to the unbroken net, 3 years later, the net is not broken, and the Lord is now saying to these disciples, you are now like this unbroken net. You are truly ready to catch men and disciple men and mold men, because there is now a strength in you to stand up under the work. You didn't have this strength 3 years ago, but you have it now, because I have been faithful to work in your life. Amen. Beloved, that's maturity. Whether you realize it or not, you know, it's so easy to get our eyes on all of our flaws and all of our failures and all of our self-disappointment when we just seem to fall in a place of failure. And it's so easy to forget that, you know what? There is a strength in my life I didn't have before. That God has been able to work something in my life of His perseverance and His endurance and His strength. Amen. And you know what? It's strength that we need, not just anointing. You know, I can't help but think about Moses, the meekest man on earth. It took God 40 years to make him a meek man. Meek man simply means a man of strength when you look at Moses' life. And when you just look at his life. Listen, when he was at the Red Sea, he was anointed to open and close Red Seas when it came to the enemy. But yet when it came to dealing with his own people, it was not Red Sea opening power he needed. He needed strength. He needed perseverance. He needed endurance. He needed long suffering. And yet you see the faithfulness God worked within his life. He became a man of strength. And that is the faithfulness of the Lord in all of our lives. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, thirdly, in Luke 5, when Jesus performed this miracle the first time, Peter's immediate response was to bid the Lord depart from me because I'm a sinful man. But 3 years later, Peter doesn't bid him to depart, but he actually throws himself in the water and passionately swims toward Jesus. Passionately moves toward Jesus. Beloved, Peter has something he didn't have 3 years ago. He had an intimate knowledge of Christ. He has walked with him. He has talked with him. He has even been rescued by him. The love of Christ and the mercy of Christ and the goodness of Christ and the faithfulness of Christ has reached into this man's heart and changed him as he has walked with the Lord. And what has happened is this. He has become so secure in who Christ is. So secure in his love, so secure in his mercy, so secure in his goodness, so secure in his faithfulness. And can I just say this? I truly believe in all of our weaknesses, all of our failings, all of our inadequacies, Christ wants his people to be secure. Amen. Listen, his mercy covers my weakness. His success covers my failure. His sufficiency covers my inadequacy. His strength covers my inability. He so willingly becomes everything that I need when I need him to be it. I am secure in him. That's my position. And that takes walking with God. It doesn't happen overnight. But yet that's the faithfulness of God as you journey with him in our lives. Amen. And I want us to notice something. I want you to look at chapter 21. I want you to look with me at verse 10 and the first part of verse 11 again. It says, Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. So let's just stop there. So Jesus says, bring the fish that you caught. And I want you to know this, notice that Peter was the very first one to lay hold of the net and bring it to the land. And here's my point. When you are secure in Christ, it truly produces a strength and a confidence in the work of the Lord. There is just a readiness to put your hands to the work and move forward in everything that God has set before you. When you just have a security in the Lord. Amen. I think Peter knew just as much the second time as he did the first time how unworthy and deserving he was of the goodness of God in his life. But yet in this miracle, you don't see him wearing his unworthiness around his neck like a millstone. He's secure. And he's ready to move on with the work. Amen. And that's so, when you're involved in the work of the Lord, you have to have a readiness to put your hands there. And that comes with security. And there's something else I want us to notice. Look at verse 11. It says, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. 153. Stop there. Look at verse 11 again. Does everybody see the word great fishes? Great fishes. Do you see great fishes? I want to emphasize that word great. That word great actually means big fishes, mighty fishes, strong fishes. So Jesus miraculously caused the big, strong fish that were in the sea to get caught in the net. That's powerful, isn't it? And these were big, strong fish in this net. And here's my point. There is something about having security in the Lord that gives you the ability to see the potential of what others can be in Christ. Listen, when you catch fish for the Lord, when you catch people for the Lord, they may not always appear big, mighty, strong. But you know the faithful workings of Christ in your own life, And you know what God can do in a life that's yielded to Him. Beloved, listen. Anyone can become a great man of God in the kingdom. Anyone, any woman can become a great woman of God in the kingdom when their lives are yielded to the Lord. There is no exceptions. It doesn't matter what weaknesses people have. It doesn't matter what they're struggling with in their life. If they are yielded to the Lord, Christ is stronger. And their destiny is to become a great man of God, a great woman in the things of God. That is their destiny. And there's just something about having the security in the Lord that truly causes the eyes of your open, and you can look at anyone and see the potential that is in their life. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor Tim. If you don't amen me, I will amen me. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor Tim. Amen. Amen. And there's one more thing I want us to notice about verse 11. Look with me at verse 11 again. It says, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. So here's the point the writer is making. There were a lot of big, mighty, strong fish in the net. 153 big, strong fish to be exact. But as many and as big and as strong as these fishes were, though they fought and yanked on the net held strong. And beloved, this net really speaks about the strength of the disciples' character. After 3 years of walking with Jesus, they were men who were growing strong in character. And here is my point. Because the Lord is making us a people of strong character, we are not going to lose the fruit of our ministry. Our character and our integrity and our honor and our truthfulness is going to make the nets strong. Beloved, what is it that truly makes your ministry or calling fruitful? What is it? It's who you are. It's your strength of character. It's your strength of integrity. And when you are a person of integrity, you won't lose the fruit of your ministry. God Himself will protect it. Amen. Your net will be strong. And the last difference in these two miracles I want us to see is this. In Luke 5, after the miracle, Jesus called the disciples in the ministry to begin to catch men. But in John 21, Jesus gives them the invitation to rest, to come and sit and dine with Him. And can I just say this? It's a hard lesson for me to learn, and I'm still learning it. But if the Lord is teaching me anything, it's how to rest in His work. It's how to sit with Him and dine, even in the midst of the battles. He's teaching me how not to be frustrated and stressed out and battle-weary because I'm battling and working in my own strength. Amen. I want to say that again. He's teaching me how not to be frustrated and stressed out and battle weary because I'm battling in my own strength. But even in the work and in the battle, He's teaching me how to sit down with Him and rest. Isaiah 30:15 says, quietness shall be your strength. A quiet heart shall be your strength. In times of work and in times of battle, God desires that our heart be quietly at rest in the Lord. And it's a picture of a storm raging on the water surface, but yet on the ocean floor, it's still tranquil and quiet. And can I say this? For any believer, this doesn't come naturally. It's a work the Lord has to do in the heart. That no matter what storm is raging on the surface, down in the deep places with Him, I'm at rest. I'm at peace. My heart is tranquil. Because He has been faithful to do the work. Amen. Beloved, I guess the point of this message is just to honor and celebrate the Lord's faithfulness in our life. This isn't just for the disciples. This is for everyone who's walking with God. God is faithful to work these priceless virtues in all of our life. God is faithful. Amen. Stand with me this morning. You may be in the trial of your life, and right now the Lord's presence just feels so distant. But I'm telling you, if you're still anchored in His Word and hoping in His Word, it's because He's worked a deep faith in your life. Lord, we just thank You, Father, for Your faithfulness in our lives, God. And Lord, You are working something in our hearts, God, that our own strength is absolutely powerless to do, God. In Your faithfulness and in Your power, You are working, God. Surely we are changing from glory to glory. Surely we are living our destiny, and that is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Lord, because of Your faithfulness and Your goodness in our life, God. And Lord, just help us to walk out in courage today, God. That, Lord, we are on the path to our destiny, and that is to be great men and women of God. Lord, it doesn't matter what weaknesses are in our life. It doesn't matter the things that we're struggling with. If our hearts are truly yielded toward You, God, You are stronger. And God, You are more than able to make us what You want us to be, God. And help us just to be grateful for that. Help us not to take that for granted. Help that Word from Your mouth not to go in one ear and out the other, but help it to find a lodging place in our hearts. And help us, Lord, to truly realize the preciousness and the pricelessness of what we have in our life, and to value it, God, more than anything in this earth, to value, to esteem with value, God, what You're doing in our life, Lord. Help us, Lord. Father, we love You, and we just thank You again, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.